This morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And before I get into this, the message this morning, the Lord was just reminding me as I was studying His Word. He took me back to Isaiah chapter 6, where the angels took the tongs and went to the altar and took the coals. And they placed the coals upon Isaiah's lips because he was a man of unclean lips. And the Bible says he was purged. He was purged. That fire purified him. There was a purification, so the words that came out of his mouth were from God and not from him. So as you work, if you look at the word and it says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we have to understand that God purged Isaiah's lips so he could prophesy and that he could speak things forth. And I was looking at that, and the Lord took me to our text today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we find there's an account in the church, in the body of Christ. There was incest taking place in the church, and they were not addressing it. Amen. They were winking at it. And the apostle Paul is addressing this, and he gives a parable or a parallel. He talks about the leaven and the leavened bread and unleavened bread. And what leaven and unleavened is when you put yeast into dough, the dough rises. You know, in other words, yeast will always affect the whole lump. So if you're looking at this context and you're seeing, you know, when we allow things that take place and we don't address them, then all of a sudden it affects the whole lump, is what he says in his word. So look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 6. And that's where we'll start today. He said, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" He says, purge out, purify, remove. "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Amen. The title of this morning's message is "A Surge to Purge." You never notice that if you've had a surge in electricity, what takes place? Sometimes a surge in electricity will blow a breaker in your house or a fuse. Amen. And it says a sudden outburst. And today we're praying for a surge to pure, that God through His Word would change our hearts and lives. Amen. You know, I'm not here, listen to me, I'm not here to look at anybody's individual sins, because he that lives in a glass house doesn't throw rocks. Hello? Your sin is any different than mine. And what God's going to deal with, He's going to deal with each and every one of us individually. Amen? And that's one thing, that we can be a body in Christ, but we're also individuals. And God deals with us all in different ways and different manners. Is everybody with me today? So the three things I want to share with you today, the title is "A Surge to Purge," and we're going to look at His Word is here to cleanse, to change, and to charge. Amen? To cleanse, to change, and to charge. Are you with me today? Amen. Can we lift up our word together and make a declaration here today? Repeat after me. Say, "I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me. Your servant. I am listening. My ears are open and my heart is receptive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Lord. We're so grateful for your love, your mercy, your grace. And Father, we thank you for everything that you're going to do in this atmosphere today, in every heart and every life. It's all about you. And we say, Lord, and I say, have your way. Speak through me. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification or to build the body up. May they be encouraged and may they be comforted by the hearing of your word. And we'll never cease to give you all the glory, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's children says, amen, amen and amen. You know, it's kind of interesting. I've had my three grandchildren from my son and my daughter-in-law, Becca, JJ and Becca, for a couple days. And we're leaving after service today. We're going to Virginia Beach to be with the other grandchildren for a couple days. The children, I can see how God looks at his children as a grandfather. As a grandfather, because the kids have all kinds of energy. And they have all kinds of things, and they're kind of stubborn in ways, and they get into things, amen. And sometimes they get into things they shouldn't have got into things, and they cause messes they shouldn't have caused, but they were just kids. And God wants us to know that we're children, and we're growing together in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen, amen. Amen. So first, we're going to look at to cleanse. Are you with me? Everybody still here? Turn with me in Isaiah chapter 1. Verse number 16. The Word of God says this. It says, wash you, make you clean. Put away of the evil of your doings for before my eyes and cease to do evil. He just doesn't stop there. Isaiah 1:16. Then he says, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. How? If ye be willing. If ye be willing. God isn't going to make anybody do anything. This is a season of grace. Amen? But this season will end. When the trumpet sounds, this season will end. And then there's not an opportunity, there's a choice. Now, you know, God gives us a choice, and it's up for you and I to be obedient and be willing and obedient. And then we shall eat the good of the land. Sometimes we go through some things in our lives, and we say, Lord, why am I going through this? But we sow the seed for what we're going through. For every seed, there's a harvest. There's not anybody that will plant a corn in the ground that doesn't expect some corn to come up. Do we have any gardeners in here? Anybody grow a garden? Everybody's garden's at Food Line? Amen. That's why the Word of God says to us, he says, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen? Amen? So look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We'll start chapter 6, verse number 16. How many know that as in Christ Jesus, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit? Is everybody with me? Amen. Amen? You're not your own anymore. I belong to him. So in verse 16 of chapter 6 in 2 Corinthians, he says this. He says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Having, chapter 7, verse 1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness and the fear of God." Amen. And in other words, he has cleansed us. He has changed us. Matter of fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 19, the word of God says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." He didn't say maybe. He didn't say perhaps. But then he says, "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." Here he goes. "If any man therefore purge himself," or purify himself, "from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work." Then he tells us, sometime along the way, he calls for us to grow up. Hello? Amen? We're studying to show ourselves approved workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says that we need to grow up. And how do I grow up? He says, "I grow up by fleeing also youthful lust, but following righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Amen? In other words, we mimic who we follow. Now, we're followers of Jesus, but in this world, who are you following? Sometimes the ones we're following are the very ones that are leading us into a ditch. Hello? Hello? Listen to me. God isn't speaking to anybody personally. He's speaking to everybody corporately. And again, he wants you to understand that your sin is no different than the one sitting next to you. And God wants to deal with each and every one of us because God loves us so much. And God has greater plans for you than what you're witnessing in your life. And somewhere along the line, you got to allow the word of God to take effect so it can produce something. Hello? You know, I don't know about you, but if you plant a seed in the ground and you just leave it in a dry place and you never water it and you never fertilize it, it's not going to bring forth a whole lot. It's just going to be something dead laying there. Amen? So look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It calls for us to change. The change. He says this. It's a familiar scripture. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." If we will not allow the old man to die, the new man can never be resurrected. In other words, we got to let some things in the past go. The Apostle Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 4, believe me, let me say this to you. When I was studying this week and I was studying this out, I was sweating. I was sweating because God was dealing with me in areas of my life. He wasn't showing me you. He wasn't showing me the sin in your life. He was showing me the sin and my life. The things in my life that wasn't pleasing. And you know, when God comes in, he's a perfect gentleman. He comes in, he don't come and just knock you off your chair and start beating you up. He comes in love. And he came to me in love and started revealing some things. And I had to make an attitude adjustment. Hello? Amen. Hello? I believe for some of us that are grumpy, we need an attitude adjustment. Because our grumpiness has affected everyone around us. Hello? If we sing this song, we got to act like it. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Up in my head. Where? In my feet. Y'all glad I'm not singing the whole song, right? Are y'all with me? Did I lose anybody yet? If I lost you, you'll get back. Hallelujah. Turn me to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 21. The Word of God says this. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man. I was a sailor and I cursed like a sailor. But when I was in Christ, when I became a new creation in Christ Jesus, those words didn't come out any longer. Hello? He says to us, that you put off concerning your former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, we've got to change our mind.
That's right.
Amen. Amen? We're not heading in the same direction we were. All right? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen? We're being transformed into the image of the one that called us. Now, when you see the image of Christ, what do you see? What do you see? I see holiness. I see purity. I see a man without sin. I haven't got to that place yet, but I'm following that man. And the closer I get to him, the more I become like him. And the further I get away from him, the more I get like the older one. In other words, it calls for us to make a choice. It says, choose this day what you'll do. It's our choice. God isn't going to make anybody do anything.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Look with me in Colossians chapter 3. And this is to solidify just what I just said to you. Verse number 10. And have put on the new man. And have put on the new man. It's just like when I change clothes. I take the old clothing off. I get cleaned up and put the new clothing on. I don't take the old clothing off and on the body not put the new clothing on top of the old body. I get a shower, right? We're washed in the blood of Jesus, right? And he says this, which is renewed and the knowledge after the image of him that created him. In other words, this is the transformation that God is talking about in his word. Amen?
Amen?
And here's one of the things. Listen to me. Here's one of the things. So many times people say, well, that's too hard. Well, let me say this to you. If it's too hard, you're doing it on your own strength and not his strength. Because his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Amen. And I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. Amen. In other words, God says that he's holy and we're being perfected into his image, that he sent his word to cleanse us, to change us, and to charge us. I was looking at the charge and And look with me in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Where'd he go? Not there, huh? All right. John chapter 1. This is John the Baptist here, speaking about Jesus. John 1:29. Listen to this. And the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God that covereth the sin of the world. Is that what it says? No, this isn't a cover-up. This isn't Watergate. The water came from the gate, but this isn't Watergate. He says, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away. Taketh away. Taketh away. And the lie and the deception of the adversary is, as I'm going to continue in my sin so grace may abound. And God says, God forbid. God forbid. Jesus has come to take it away. He'll take it away. He took it on the cross of Calvary for you and I. He paid the price. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1. You know why the Lord gave you this message? Because we're really getting ready as a body of Christ to step into something we've never stepped into before. And God is getting us positioned and ready for what's coming. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you. When the fire comes in, I want to be on fire. I'll just leave it there. The Apostle Peter, if we're reading a word, he says this. He's speaking to the body of Christ. He's speaking to everyone in this room. And he says in verse number 16. Well, let's start it. We'll just start at 13. He says, Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end of the grace, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the apocalypse or apocalypsis or the uncovering, the revealing, the revelation of the Lord. As obedient children, how many would like your children to be obedient? Let me see your hands. Come on. How many would like to see your children be obedient? How many would like to see your grandchildren be obedient? Hello? Hello? And he's saying to us, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which have called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In other words, that's probably why you had to come out of class, wasn't it? She's related. And I love her. She's a sweet jewel. I have to go where I was at. Where was I? Yeah, it was in 1 Peter. Okay. But he that which is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass your time of your sojourning here in fear. The fear isn't, I'm not afraid of God, I reverence God. There's a day when fear is coming to the earth. Right now, I've got holy reverence for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he says, For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in the last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the scripture, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know, I was born in my mom and dad, and I was raised by what mom and dad told me. And when I became a born again child of God, my father is here. His words that he's speaking to me, he's the same words he spoke to my daddy and to his daddy. He's speaking to me, and I'm supposed to speak to the next generation. Amen. 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 That it's not just about us. It's not about us. It's about all of us. And God wants you to understand, no matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, God cares for you. And God will take you from glory to glory. God will minister. God will lead you. What he is saying to us today is just keep following him. Keep your eyes upon him. Keep reading his word. Get that word inside of you. Because all the things of this world is what's inside of us. And we have to renew our minds. And our mind can only be renewed by the word of God. Amen. You know that this is the greatest wisdom that's in all the world. You can take all the books that are in the world, and there's more knowledge and wisdom in this one book than all the rest of the books in the world. Right here. And why do you think, when there's so much wisdom, and this one book far greater than every book, men and women will read 100 books, read 200 books, but they won't read the book that'll make a difference in their life? Amen. In other words, that's what God wants you to understand. That's the charge he's making before us today. He sent his son to cleanse us, to change us. And the charge says, hey, we have to put put to the gas, or the metal to the pedal, or the pedal to the metal. Amen. And we need to get this word working. I every time that I'm called to do something for the Lord, most of the times it's something I can't do, that I don't have the strength or the power or the means to do. But when he says to do it, then he gives me instructions. You know, the Bible says the steps of a righteous man have been ordered by the Lord, and he finds delight in his way. And if our steps have been ordered by the Lord and we find delight in our way, don't you think we ought to be studying the handbook? Amen?
Amen.
Just saying. And Hebrews chapter 12, I guess I'll get ready and stop talking in closing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Hebrews chapter 12. Verse number 11. The Bible says, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. I don't know about you. Has anybody ever enjoyed the spanking you got from your daddy? Hello? Has everybody ever enjoyed the rod of correction? Anybody here like to get spanked? You do? No, you don't. In other words, listen to me. When the Father speaks to our heart in an area in our life, and he's ministering correction, at the moment it doesn't seem to be joyous, but it seems to be grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You know, it's just like Solomon said, spare the rod, spoil the child. This is the word of God, which is the rod of correction. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable.
That's right.
It's profitable. For reproof, for correction, for instruction. That we may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And he says to us, where in verse 12, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down in feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See, how we react is how the effect that we have on others. So in closing today, what is the Father saying to us simply today through His Word? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and this is the charge. This was the charge that the Apostle Paul gave to his student Timothy as he's closing his second letter to him. He says in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap up to themselves teachers having itchy ears. People are looking for them to say that their sin's okay. It's not. And they shall turn many away, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But he encourages his student, he charges his student Timothy this. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. So in closing today, what is the Father saying to you and I is simply this. You know, it's a surge to purge.